Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you here this morning. And those that are online, we welcome you as well. Hey, did you do me a favor? Stand up just for a second, if you would. Stand up. And turn to somebody and say, you're invited. Just go ahead and say it. Just, you're invited. Okay? Okay. So that has been the theme of this series that we've been doing all month long. We're talking about the fact that we want you, we're hoping for 100% participation, that you all would invite at least one person for the month of September, but we're certainly not limiting it to September. I mean, all year long, we'd like you to do this. So we've seen some new people, we're excited, and if you're new to us today, so awesome to have you here today. I want to begin by telling you a story. Actually, I'm going to read the story because Jesus told the story, and it's about a guy that invites a bunch of people over for a dinner party. And so I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. You're going to find this in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. And it reads like this. There was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. And when it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants to the invited guests saying, come on in, food's on the table. When they all began to beg off, one after another, making excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of property, need to look it over, send my regrets. Another said, I just bought 5 team of oxen and I really need to check them out, send my regrets. And yet another said, I just got married, need to get home to my wife. The servant went back and told the master what had happened, and he was outraged. And he told the servants, quickly, get into the city streets and alleys, collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on, and bring them here. The servant reported back, master, I did what you commanded, and there's still room. The master said, well, then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner table. That's a pretty intense story. I mean, who is this guy? And why are they trying to drag everybody into this dinner party? Well, if you know what the story is really about, the host is actually God. And God is saying, I want everybody to come to this dinner party because it's actually the kingdom of God. And he realizes what he's really inviting people to in is not just an experience, he's inviting them into life. And so the invitations go out. But what's really interesting about this story and very similar stories that Jesus tells is that so many people are invited and yet so many people don't receive the invitation. So many people just like they say, they make excuses. And man, if that's not the story of our world today, if that's not the story of our culture today, of, you know, we're out there, we're saying, hey, man, I want to tell you something that's really good. It's meaningful. It's changed my life. It can change your life. And, you know, it's kind of like, nah, not right now. So as we talk about invitation today, I want to go to the why. Why is this so important? Why are we even meeting here this morning? Why do we have this thing called church where people gather up? What is this mission really all about? And why is it so important? So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, this is what Jesus said. He said, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? What about it? Is there anything worth more than our soul? How many times have we read or known somebody that invested their whole life in something? Maybe they got rich, maybe they even got famous, and they were successful in a lot of different ways. But if you lose your soul, Jesus said, then you lose everything. It's a total loss. That's why this mission is so important. The answer to this whole thing is no. If you lose your soul, there's nothing worse than that. So in John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That's what we believe with all of our heart. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And when he says believes, I think it's always, we always need to clarify that. A lot of people think, well, you know, I believe in God. That's just kind of giving mental assent to the fact that you believe there's a God out there somewhere. He's not talking about that. Whenever Jesus talks about believe, it's like believe because you're going to follow me and you're going to invest your life with me. That's what it means to actually believe. So if we're going to share the gospel, which literally means, and I always love the definition of the gospel, good news, then you and I have to be convinced that it's the good news, don't we? Like, yeah, like I believe it's good news to me. It's good news to my life. And we have to believe that it's the truth. And, you know, you just can't be ashamed of the truth. I you know, one of the things I sometimes see people doing is apologizing for the Bible. And you know, especially in our modern day culture, you know, I hear people say things like, well, you know, it's a good book. It's the good book, right? And there's some good things in there, but it's an old book, you know, it's kind of outdated, and it's not really, really in sync with our culture today. But the problem really is that our culture, in to a large degree, it's not in sync with God. God says, I don't change. You know, a lot of other things might change, but I don't, because there's these beautiful eternal truths. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul speaking, he says this, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I love the gospel. The gospel has changed my life. It truly is the good news to me. But you know what I am ashamed of? I'm ashamed of a lot of people who claim to be Christians, and yet their life looks nothing like Christianity. I'm ashamed of churches that proclaim to be Christian churches and don't preach the Bible. In fact, they are ashamed of the Bible and won't even preach about certain parts of it. I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed because a lot of people look at Christianity and they go, yeah, and they have some really low opinions about Christianity based on not really so much the Bible, but just on what they've seen in Christians. I think I'm ashamed of that. And I believe that the only thing that's going to restore, you know, Christianity and the church and bring it back to where it ought to be is if we get serious about this. If we can let our, you know, Jesus said, let your light shine. As followers of Jesus, you know, we have to go out, we have to keep proclaiming. And so the marching orders actually came from Jesus himself. So you know this, that Jesus, right before he departed from this world, he gave what we call the Great Commission. And he said this in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 19. He said, therefore, and go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's it right there. The last words of Jesus, go out there and just tell people, proclaim the good news. And by the way, this was not a suggestion. This was actually a mandate for everybody who would ever follow Jesus to get out there and get on mission. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 14. He said, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. If you're a person who's brought good news, you proclaim the gospel, share the gospel, look down at your feet, because the Bible says you got beautiful feet, because your feet took you to somebody to try to share the good news with them. So from a biblical perspective, I really wanted to emphasize the why. It's so important to get to the why. Why do we do this? For all the reasons that we just talked about. But now I want to talk to you about the how, and that's going to be my focus in this message today. Well, okay, and I think this is what really scares a lot of people. They're like, okay, I get the fact that we're supposed to, I really believe with all my heart that it's important, but man, I'm not quite sure how to do that. And so today we're gonna try to help you with that. I think probably the first thing to note that's really, really important is it's not just on you and it's not just on me, but this is actually a team effort. This is a team effort. Let me give you an example of this. A lot of times when you and I, like let's just say you have a friend or so a coworker, or somebody, maybe somebody you go to school with, and you're like, you know, I'd really like to share Jesus with that person. I might like to tell them my story. And so you're thinking about it. And so maybe you had that opportunity that comes up. And they say something like this. They go, that's nice. I'm glad that works for you. Maybe you've heard that one before. And I'm glad it makes you happy, you know, but that's just not my thing. And you're like, oh, man. And when that happens, you just feel like an utter failure. You're like, oh, I failed. But you really didn't. You didn't fail at all. Jesus didn't say, share, and if they don't convert, then you failed. He just said, share. And it's when I say it's a team effort, what you have to understand is a lot of people, before they'll ever actually come to Christ, they'll hear the message from different people in different ways often. So let me say this. Maybe you're person number three. And so, you know, three people have already, we just call it planting seeds. They've planted seeds, you know. And when you plant seeds, they don't always take sometimes. It depends on the kind of soil that they're in. And so maybe three people, like, tried to share Jesus with that person. They're like, nah, nah, nah. And then you come along, and you're maybe person number four, and you share, and it's the same thing. And you're like, oh, man. What we don't realize is that team maybe just keeps coming. And so maybe the eighth person comes along, and if you're fortunate, you're the eighth person. You don't even know that seven other people have tried to share Jesus with that person. You're person number eight, and you share, and boom, they open their heart up, and you're like, what? That's amazing. And you're maybe thinking, I can't believe it. You know, I'm the only one. No, you're not. There's all kinds of people. Some people have prayed for that person, shared with that person. So that's where it's really, really a team effort. We had the opportunity this last Monday to be in a golf tournament. And I see Brian Reeves is here today. And I don't think Donnie Staples is here. And my son Stevie, there was four of us, and we represented our church. Pacific Life Church was in that tournament. And this is for CAP, something we believe so strongly in, College Area Pregnancy Services. We supported them. And so we wanted to be a part of that fundraiser. And so it was, if you know golf at all, this was called Best Ball. And if you've ever played in a best ball tournament, it's kind of cool because it doesn't put the pressure on any one particular person. Like, everybody has to contribute, which was really good because I was playing awful on Monday. I wish I would have represented better. But here's the way it works. So in that, you know, you always play the best ball that's out there. And so my son Stevie was really driving the ball far. So he was the guy that was really coming through some long drives. And then Brian, it seemed like when we needed a shot, Brian was right there, man, and he put some really good shots out there. And then Donnie was kind of carrying all of us. I don't know if you know, Donnie's a really good golfer, so, man, a lot of good shots by Donnie. And the only thing that I contributed, I'm a pretty good putter. So I dropped in a couple, and there, you know, one of them was for a birdie. It was like, yay, Steve, you know. I wasn't having my best day, but the bottom line is that it was a team effort, and collectively, we actually did pretty good. So it is a team thing. So let me give you an example of these confrontational, I used the wrong word there. Let me give you an example of the different styles of invitation, okay? I kind of got ahead of myself there for a second because the first one actually is confrontational. And when I say that, so we're going to talk about six of them. So how do we share? How do we share? Some people have what we would call a confrontational way of sharing the gospel. Now, don't be put off by that word, because a lot of us, we think, I don't like anything about confrontational. I'm not confrontational, and I don't like confrontational people. But there is a style. So let me give you an example of a person who is a confrontational share of the gospel. His name was the Apostle Peter. Ever heard of him? Peter had amazing results. Peter was kind of like, he would just come straight at you. And that's really one of the things about people that have this particular style. They're usually confident, bold, and they're very direct. They're kind of they're the kind of people that skip the small talk, and they just get right to the point. And maybe you're that kind of a person. And if you are, don't ever be ashamed of being that kind of person, because that's the way God made you. That's the way God wired you. And just you just need to own it. And here's what you need also to know about that particular way of sharing. With some people, it's very effective. Now, I realize that the way that our culture is today doesn't play as well as it used to, you know, but it's still effective. In fact, I have a good friend, and Years ago, there was a confrontational person that really came right at him. So let me tell you about her. She's passed away some years ago, but she was a little Greek lady. Her name was Cleo. And Cleo used to go to the church, the very first church that I pastored. And if you ever saw Cleo, she was really, really short. She was elderly by the time that I met her. She always wore these really funky hats and an overcoat. And she had a really thick Greek accent. And so she was direct. And so one day, this guy's name is Marty. Marty was living out of his van, as I remember the story told to me. And he was just living at the beach, and he was doing drugs, and he was just, that's where he was at that point. Well, Cleo pokes her head in there and says, "Hey." And she starts talking to Marty about the gospel. Man, she just, if you know Cleo, she just came straight at him. And it was very effective because Marty gave his heart to the Lord from that encounter. Yeah. And Marty wasn't the only one. I know several people that came to Christ as a result of this little Cleo coming up to them, getting right in their face, and just directly sharing the gospel with them. So with some people, it's very effective. I've also noticed this, and this is just kind of my own theory. I think sometimes the people that are most receptive to the direct approach are the people that are actually very direct themselves. Sometimes the confrontational people are more, you know, like, "Yo, you, yeah," and they're, "Yeah, what do you want?" You know, that kind of a thing. And they're just like more open, like that's just the way they operate. So that's the first style. There's kind of a down, every style that we're going to talk about, there's kind of something you need to guard against. So if you're confrontational, don't be obnoxious. That's the one thing, okay? Just, you know, go with who you are, but don't be obnoxious. Secondly is this, we're going to call this the intellectual style. The Apostle Paul actually used this style. He was a very, very bright guy, and he was a very educated guy. In fact, one time, you can read about this in the 17th chapter of Acts, but one time he went to Athens, Greece, and while he was there, there was all these philosophers, these Epicurean philosophers were talking about stuff, and so he hung around for a few days, and then he jumped right in and began to have conversations with them, and he was very effective. If you read the story, a lot of people came to Christ. But here is a guy who clearly, that was kind of where he lived because of all his education, and he was able to mix it up with them. The people that have the intellectual style tend to be people that like to go deep. You know, they like to play on the deep end of the pool, you know, about their ideas and everything. As a matter of fact, one of the other apostles that probably would have fit into this was Thomas. You know, we call him Doubting Thomas. But Thomas was always asking questions. And he was always trying to draw people into deeper conversation. So maybe you're that kind of a person. Some of the great Christian thinkers and writers that fall into this category would be like C.S. Lewis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Timothy Keller more recently. And, you know, when you read their stuff, you're like, whoa, that's serious. That's heavy, heavy stuff. And that's just the way they think. And there are some people that this is the kind of message presented this way that's going to really be effective in reaching them. I have a friend, he's like 30 years old, he's very bright, he's very educated, and he just started a club. It's actually over in Ocean Beach, and they meet at a coffee shop once a month, and it's called the Doubters Club. And they're starting to start these clubs all across the country. It was actually originally started by another guy. And so he sits down, and he invites people, and most of them are not believers, and some of them are actually atheists and agnostics, And they just sit down over coffee, and they just start to exchange ideas. And he's very effective. He's well-versed in apologetics, which is actually the defense of the faith. And he just sits there, and I'm just so excited about this particular approach. But that would be his approach. Now, the thing that you have to guard against if you have that style is don't be a know-it-all, okay? Because nobody likes a know-it-all. You're smart. Okay, we get it, all right? The third style is the testimonial style. Testimonial style is this, just telling your story. And there are some people that are so good at telling their story. In the Bible, a guy who would have fallen into this category would have been the guy that was healed by Jesus. He was blind, and Jesus healed him, and now he had his story to tell, right? And everywhere he went, he would tell his story. I was blind, and Jesus came to me, and he healed me. I saw this play out last week. Some of you guys might have seen this. I think it was Eric Pentecost that sent me this this video of an NFL player. His name is DeMarro Davis. And he got up, you know, it's after the game. And, you know, of course, all the reporters, this is on national television. And they're like, okay, and everybody wants to hear about his game. And he goes, he just started preaching. He goes, I got to tell you, I'm like, before we get there, I got to tell you something else. And he told them about what had happened to his three-year-old daughter. And that basically she's epilepsy, and she hadn't had a seizure for a long time, and a whole year had gone by. And she had the worst seizure that she'd ever had, and they thought she was possibly going to die. And he was talking about how they prayed for their daughter and how this whole thing went down and how she came out of it beautifully because of their prayers. In fact, she was unbelievably healed at that moment. And so he's telling this on national television. And it wasn't like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. I mean, it was a full-on, like, I'm going to tell you my story. I got a captive audience. And they were like, okay. And he preached, man. It was awesome. If you get a chance to get that clip, check it out. You could probably find it on YouTube. People with testimonial styles are people that know how to communicate clearly. They know how to tell a story. But they also know how to listen to other people. And they also know how to relate to other people. So to the people who have this style of sharing, and I think it's one of the best ways that you can share. And by the way, nobody gets locked into one style. I mean, you know, you might maybe have the intellectual style or whatever your style is, or maybe even confrontational. But if you have a chance to tell your story, man, tell your story. But here's the one thing you got to guard against. If you got a great story and it's 25 years old, you got to update your story. Okay? Because sometimes I'll talk to people and they go, no, 25 years ago. And I'm like, well, I'm really happy for you 25 years ago. What's God doing in your life today? So, yeah, you know, keep it fresh, keep it relevant. You can still tell that story. That's great. But, you know, keep your life relevant if you can. And then we're going to call this the relational style of sharing. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he says, when I'm with those who are weak, I share in their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I want to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I think this is so awesome. This is a person who's relational. This is a person who can walk into any kind of circle, and if it's like a bunch of mechanics, or if it's engineers, or if it's blue-collar workers, they just know how to relate. They just can walk into there, and the next thing you know, they're becoming friends with everybody, and it's a beautiful way to try to win people to Christ. And these kind of people make friends easily. These are the kind of people that just love people, and they're very comfortable being in different kinds of settings with different kinds of people. This is probably the style that I'm most comfortable with, just because I like people, and I just feel comfortable. I can usually embrace almost any group of people and find myself in the middle of that group having a conversation. One of the things that I love about this style is because there's some people can, you know, I'm looking over at Andy right here, and Andy used to do cold calls. He could walk right into somebody's office. Like, I could never do that. Hello, my name is Steve Bombacci, you know. I'm like, get out of here, Steve, and I would be devastated, okay? But if I get to know somebody, it means that I've earned the right to be heard, and I like that. So I feel like if I get to know somebody, then, okay, now that you know me, then, hey, we can have this conversation. The characteristics of a person with this relational style is that they're a good conversationalist, usually. They're compassionate, they're sensitive, focused on people and their needs, and they make friends easily. And I think probably this particular style in our culture today probably plays best because we live in a very suspicious culture. A lot of people, if they don't know you, they're going to hold you at arm's length. So it's an amazing, or really it's a beautiful opportunity just to get to know people on a relational level. Probably the thing that you have to guard against in this is that you make people friends, and now that they're your friend, you're afraid to share the gospel because you're afraid it might hurt their friendship. Okay, so that would be the one thing about this particular style. You still got to share it, right? Because we need to, because we're on mission to share it. And then we have the invitational style. Some people are just naturally good at inviting people to church or to events. Like maybe you invite them to an event where there's somebody who's going to share an amazing story, maybe it's a music event, whatever it is, but they're just good. Like when they invite people, they have the ability to get people excited about it. Andrew, one of the disciples of Jesus, was really good at this. In fact, Andrew, he told Peter, hey, you got to come and meet this guy Jesus. He's amazing. You know, on another occasion, Andrew brought some Greek people over to meet Jesus. He was an inviter. He was just like a natural inviter. The story at the woman in the well, just a few weeks ago, I think Pastor Sarah preached on the woman at the well. And she was an incredible inviter. She Jesus did some phenomenal things in her life. And she invites an entire town out to hear Jesus. And they all show up. I mean, that's a good inviter. Again, the characteristics of this kind of person is that they know how to get people excited about something and invite them to it. My wife has really got that. My wife can invite, she'll get excited about something. You need to come to this thing. And she's just got that skill set. 43 years ago, she used that skill on me. Yeah, she did. She's such a persuasive person. I remember 43 years ago, I'm standing at the altar, and I'm thinking, how did I get here? She persuaded me to marry her, and here I am. Wow, I know. Can you believe that? And by the way, it was the greatest thing I ever did, so I will say that. I know. So if this is a style that fits your personality, go with it. Be the inviter. But here's the thing that you have to guard against as being the inviter. Because I've had people say, well, I want this person to meet you, Pastor Steve, because I think you're better than me. And I always tell people, actually, no, I think you're better than me because you know that person. So, don't be afraid to actually share the gospel, to tell your story. I'll be happy to meet those people. So it's great to invite people to events and to church, and please keep on doing that. But at some point in time, you need to actually talk to those people about what's going on with you and God. And then finally, we have what we call the serving style. In Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. There's something about serving people that opens their hearts up like nothing else will. We've heard the expression, actions speak louder than words. And actions do speak a lot. I mean, when we start really caring for people, one of the things that we want to do here is, we want to inspire people to follow Jesus by loving each other, our mission statement says, and it says by serving our neighbors. That's why we have so many people in this church that are serving people, because we believe that it really is the way to open people's hearts up. One of the great servers in this church is Tony, our associate pastor. If you know Tony, man, he just loves to serve people. He's on the PB Town Council, serves there. He serves a lot at this school. Every time I turn around, he's serving, buddy. So he's just got a heart that's like that. But because Tony's like that, he's opened up a lot of people's hearts. And I'm going to say not just Tony, but really Sarah back there, she's the same way. And Lucy, everybody on our staff, they're just amazing people. See Maki back there, it's the same. We're just incredible serving people. Karen and my wife invited me the other day to go to an event that I probably wouldn't have normally gone to, but there was a woman that we care deeply about, and she said, I want you to come to this thing, and it was the San Diego River Foundation, which is actually a really cool organization, but she wanted us to serve, so we found ourselves on, I think it was on Thursday, and we're standing there, and we're serving a bunch of people, and the purpose behind that was to meet a lot of people, and again, just to open up some hearts. And I think it's one of the great things that you can do. I want to invite you to, if you've never been a part of We See You San Diego, and I've talked about it now and then, we were there last Tuesday with some people from this church were there, and it's a homeless ministry. It is by far the best homeless ministry I've ever seen, ever. It's amazing. It's every Tuesday right here in Pacific Beach. If you want more information, just go to our website. It's at 5 o'clock. They open the gates, and you're there, and they serve better than any people I've seen. There is a Christian organization, and so come check that out sometime. But again, that's just a way to open up people's hearts. People that have this style tend to be, they're patient, they're other people-centered, they show love through actions more than words. Now, having said that, it's all good except for one thing. Sometimes people that do these things, they don't want to use words. And you need to use words. One of those scriptures that we read said, how are they going to know unless they hear? They have to. At some point, you got to share it. I had a buddy that used to work at the Wild Animal Park, and he was a Christian. And he said that he went on this thing where he thought, I'm just going to like be such an awesome person, and I'm just going to be so amazing by serving everything that that'll be the way that I'll shine my light. And so he did this for a couple of months, and one day, some guy came up to him and said, I've been watching you, and I'm super impressed by you. And so he was waiting for it, and he said, are you a vegetarian? So, I mean, unless you tell him, Unless you tell them, they're just not going to know, okay? So at some point, you have to say, well, if you see anything good in me, it's because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, okay? So at some point, you actually do have to tell them. So let me finish with this. So we've talked about these six different styles. And so as I've been talking about this, I'm imagining that some of you found yourself in one of these six styles. And I just thought it would be kind of cool to see where you landed. So we're going to go through. If you're a confrontational style, raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed about it. Raise your hand because you're confrontational. Okay. Oh, great. Chris back there. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I like that. Okay. If you are the intellectual style, okay, it's okay to be smart. Come on, raise your hand. Okay. All right. There you go. Anybody else? All right. Okay. If you are the testimonial style, you like to tell your story. Who we got here? Okay. All right. Okay. All right, I like that one. Yeah, by the way, you could raise your hand twice. If you don't have to be locked into one, but there's probably one that's your best. If you are the relational style, raise your hand. Okay, got a lot of those. I kind of figured we would, okay. If you are the invitational style, okay. My wife, Karen, raise your hand. Okay, okay, all right. And if you are the serving style, okay, quite a few of your servers. That's really, really awesome, okay. So here's what I hope and here's what I pray. I pray that we are motivated. For those of you that are online as well watching this, I hope that you're motivated because you understand the why. The why is that there are people out there and it's life and death. If they don't know Jesus, this is what this is all about. You know, what will profit a person if they gain everything and they lose their soul? That's why we're on mission, okay? And so we need to go out on mission and we need to use however God has wired us, has shaped you, blessed you, whatever your personality is, God wants to use that for you to bring the good news to other people. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to take the most wonderful news in the world, the news that has literally saved our life and our soul and our future and our eternity. And we are so thankful for that, Lord. And Lord, let there be a passion in us to go out and to share the good news with people around us, people that we know, maybe people that we just met. Help us to be keenly aware of the opportunities that are out there, Lord. And help us to take serious the great mandate to go out into all the world, our circles, our spheres of influence, and share the greatest news of all time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.